greetings, everybody. This is Pastor Buddy joining you live tonight, right here around the world on WWRV 3.185 Clear Channel on the transmitting Jewel of the South. Glad to have you in here tonight. Got a great program. Part one of the digital time code. Digital time code. You ever think that we're on some kind of a schedule that's none of our doing? Something that's already been predestined? You know, the Bible talks about predestination. It talks about the mind, the spiritual mind, and the carnal mind. It talks about reality and sharing in a something that we're not in. You know, what are we doing here? Who got us here? Are we victims of circumstances beyond our control? Is something already orchestrated on our behalf? Are there such things in the Bible to indicate that there are someone watching over us or someone involved in our affairs? Well, if we believe that and we go below the surface reality of the neocortex, that's the brain, and there's three functions of the brain that I'd like to discuss in this series, and we're going to talk about the neocortex and the limbic and the reptilian, and I'm going to in general talk about the reptilian brain. It's the most ancient of the brains. It has two hemispheres, just like the neocortex, and it may, just may be, that they relate functionally to the left and the right hemispheres of the neocortex. The reptilian brain consists of the upper part of the spinal cord and the basal genital, the encephalon, and parts of the midbrain, all of which sits atop the spinal column like a knob in the middle of our heads. Now, someone tinkered with it, talking about DNA and things of this nature. Some are blessed. Some are more blessed than others. Some are less blessed than others. And, you know, I don't know why. I don't know why that some of us are born with good brains. Some of us are lamb brained, and, well, a lot of those, speaking of a lamb brain, dumb sheep. Who caused that? Is there an interference with a digital time code? Let me first talk about, before we get into the brain, let's talk about a digital time code, especially here coming up, and I've talked about this in the past, and I'd like to briefly refer again to 11-11 Universal Time, December the 12th, 2012. This is the time code, if you have ever noticed on a digital clock or something in your presence or something that just keeps popping up 11-11. Why is the government in such a big hurry, you know, the world government? Why does the Bible say that Satan knows he has but a short time? Is he in on this code? Set times? The digital time code? Does he know? Can he read somewhere in the future? Physical reality is a consciousness created by digital codes. Numbers and numeric codes define our existence. Have you ever wondered sometimes why you're here? Have you ever had a sense of reality and then it fades to the point where you are betwixt and between reality? You're in this world and in one sense, and you're in another world in another sense, and you really don't know which one you're supposed to be in. Are things like like they appear to be. It's a mindset. As the Bible said, as a man thinketh, so he is. If you think low, or if you think in a reptilian mode, who's put us in a reptilian mode? Now, like I said, it's like a little knob at the base of the spine or the top of the spine where we have this attachment to the brainstem, the reptilian brainstem. Now, I don't like the word reptilian. Do we have reptilian ancestors? As ridiculous and pungent as it sounds, modern science commonly accepts that humankind's early ancestors may have been reptiles. A snake is a reptile. The snake man. We're going to explore this in reality and try to figure out where he come in the picture and how we got a reptilian brainstem. From what source did it come? And according to the Darwinian explanation of the origins of the human species, mammals evolved from reptiles. The link between the two. How did man get involved? We've got a reptilian brainstem, as indicated, and we have gained dominion over the earth, and somebody told us to rule. Well, after the dinosaurs were destroyed, that's a reptilian connection, it is theorized that only then were mammals able to proliferate, expand, and ultimately evolve into intelligent beings. It is rather remarkable that the ancient Sumerian story of creation should parallel so closely the Darwinian view. Now, we've talked and taught about the Sumerian story of creation. Strangely enough, it parallels the Bible. Was the Bible taken from an earlier text of the Sumerian story and related through Moses and his knowledge of the ancients? Were there involved two different groups of beings? The Bible would describe them as watchers. I ain't going to say angels for the moment. We see them today, religious people do. You know, and why would a religious person refer to them as angels and scientific people refer to them as watchers or other species, maybe lower or higher, depending on how you would grade your performance based on their performance? Do we have ancestors from a reptilian age? Well, the Bible says in the beginning there was a very wise reptilian brain. It really does. It talks about that. And then it talks about another brain that was a little bit wiser than the reptilian brain. So do we have competition? Are each of these, the reptilian brain and the other brain, which we would describe as a spiritual brain, versus something lower, reptilian being lower in this case, that Yahweh himself would be in competition to Satan, the serpent, the reptilian. And each one of these are playing a major game of chess, and we are the pawns that's on the board of creation. We're the good angels and the bad angels working together to create a subspecies called man. The Bible describes in this digital time code that we are a little lower than angels. something a little less. Who made us a little less than angels? Why aren't we as angels? Why are they a little higher and we're a little lower? That is a degree of question that, you know, I'd like to know. The neocortex. It's a great mystery. The limbic, that's the gray matter between the neocortex and the reptilian part. The reptilian attaches to the spine of man, just like a snake. How do we get that connection? I've often marveled at that. Would you want to marvel at that? At least five human behaviors originate in the reptilian brain. These have been noted as enospheric or preservative reenactment, topistic and deceptive without defining. We could simply say that in human activities we find expression in obsessive compulsive behavior. It's often talked about today in examining the reptilian brain. Personal day-to-day rituals and superstitious acts. Why do we do that? We won't walk under a ladder because somebody told us that walking under a ladder could bring bad luck. Things of this nature. Personal day-to-day rituals and superstitious acts. The reptilian brain is noted for such things. Slavish conformance to things that we have learned, which is not scientifically correct and proven to be wrong, and yet we hold to our conformance of always how we're brought up. We are creatures of habit, personal day-to-day rituals, and superstitious acts. Ceremonial reenactments. We're always doing that. For instance, we just got through in ceremonial ritual acts of Passover. Did the ancients teach personal day-to-day rituals and superstitious acts, or are they superstitious? Do they have an effect on the brain, be it reptilian or a higher brain, such as the angels being a little higher and man being a little reptilian lower? Or is it that man is reptilian in two stages? And then there is a power or a knowledge above us that is being digitally coded out of our system. If somebody tampered with our engine, our brain, has somebody taken away our ability to respond to representations or correlations and the things that matter against all manner of deception? Have we been deceived through obsessive compulsive behavior in respect to personal day-to-day rituals? In other words, what has given us a mind to resist what the Bible says, for instance? We do know that there is a tree of good and a tree of evil, a tree of knowledge and a lesser tree. Does knowledge bring scientific wisdom to deny the obsessive compulsive behavior? Were we made to worship gods? And is that a lower form of obsessive compulsive behavior? Atheists believe that we are given in to slavish conformance to things that have been placed in our mind by fear and superstitious or legal or illegal religious cultural matters that we've been taught. And we become, like, superstitious and performing day-to-day rituals. I know we had Passover, and that was a ritual that's written in the Bible. Should we do that? Other people say it's, I mean, the, obviously everybody don't keep Passover. Religious people, in a way, of legal, religious, cultural matters, responded to these representations of what we've been taught, whether obsessive, compulsive behavior, or whether they're personal day-to-day rituals and superstitious facts by a higher power that is went in and tinkered with our brainstem to cut us off in a digital time code, and whether we are to come back online at a later time. The Bible talks about till we all come in unity or fullness of expression in legal, religious, cultural, or representations of each or other, or whether it be scientific, atheist. Seem like the more scientific people get, Paul talked about people that are falsely puffed up by science, things that they don't understand. What makes the brain tick? And I do believe that we are in a digital time code, because the Bible says itself that the devil, in this case a reptilian, we know that Satan is a reptilian. We know that we have, due to the genetic nature of our own bodies, we have a reptilian body. We have a reptilian nervous system. Now, science will go into that and say that we have evolved from a reptilian, which was the most ancient of all of the creatures on earth. The Bible says that Yahweh cursed the serpent to upon his belly, and we're going to deal with the meaning of that in respect to what that really means when he cursed the reptilian brain. Did unauthorized people, or what we call the watchers, I'm going to describe them as watchers, I hesitate to say angels, because if I say angels and then I describe good angels and bad angels, you may think that it's just a war of spirit beings, when I believe that watchers are real beings. They are physical reality and a conscious program created by digital codes, numbers, and numerics, that they define our existence, and our human DNA, our genetic memory, is encoded to be triggered by digital reactors at specific times and frequencies, and these codes to trigger or to awaken the mind to the change and evolution of consciousness. Are we at the point of a trigger mechanism of December 20 and 12? Are we going to evolve into full swing in 20 and 12? There's some kind of a trigger mechanism about to explode. Does Satan know that? I mean, if he's kept us dumb, well, dumbed down. There is a specific seed on the earth that is dumbed down. And it seems like that there is a specific seed in the earth that has supremacy. A seed that would, like, for instance, bruise your heel. Now, we're talking about the heel of the DNA. We're not talking about... See, something is affecting our thinking. Something has dumbed us down. Now, if you noted 1111 frequently, it creates synchronicities into your life that maybe triggers a knowing that our Father knew, or someone knew, our watchers. Let's go back to our watchers. Our watchers knew that we were a little lower than the watchers. They noticed purposely so. But if we can find out in 20 and 12 at 11:11 that there is a full swing in these digital time codes, that something is going to trigger an opening or an expanse of a consciousness that would rival our reptilian brothers, be they good or bad. I do know, I believe that the reptilian representation represents the human brain that seeks knowledge. Eve saw this tree of knowledge. Now, whether it was a physical snake, as most people would say, I mean, a talking snake, it's ridiculous. It had to be an energy of life. The Bible talks about Satan, the serpent, depicted as a serpent, as a created being, and that he was very wise. The Bible describes him as a perfect. He was an example of the whatever makes us think, whatever makes us function, whatever brings us significance and consciousness to evolve. So we're to grow in grace and knowledge. That's evolve. The truths of yesterday are not necessarily the truths today. Things change. Nothing remains the same. We have 11 plus 11 equals 22 times 4. And 22 is a master number of Masonics, as they teach the wisdom codes of the wise. Do these reptilians, do they understand and associate with a wake-up code? A wake-up. Do they know? Satan knows that he has a short time. A short time to do what? Is he going to enhance your thinking? Is he going to bring you up to, like the Bible said, in the last days much knowledge is going to be increased? Are we to be loosed? Because we're all bound by fear and superstition and ignorance, somewhat, some more than others, like I said. You know, a great scientific mind, the smarter it is, the less it appreciates a creator, someone that had knowledge over it, because it feels superior through its knowledge against that which is not seen. So, you see, God, or what we call the presence of a master power, in this case, we're going to talk about the double digital number of 11. Doubled is 22, and 22 becomes a master or power number in numerology. The Masonic Order and others represent the elite. Now, if 11 represents a spiraling twin strand of strands of human DNA moving into a higher frequency of consciousness, 11 represents the balance. Now, when I say balance, because 11 is a number of Joseph. He's 11th son. Was he chosen specifically to be a master number? Now, when you double this, in other words, when 11 doubles, it becomes a 22, and there's 22 letters in the master language of Hebrew. Is that why that some see a golden age emerging? When the ancient prophets referred to alchemy as gold and changes, that are taking place in our bodies and the evolution of our consciousness, is 2012 significant? Are we headed toward a golden age of knowledge? Would this knowledge be used in preference for spiritual matters, faith of things not seen? Or would it be that we create things we do see and lose faith in the things that we cannot see? See, that's the difference between the reptilian brain and a spiritual brain. To be spiritual-minded is life and peace. To be reptilian thinking, in its sense, once we create something, our mind is never satisfied. It wants to create something else, greater or more magical. We've created electricity out of nothing. I mean, where does electricity come from? It's in your home. You can't see it. You can feel it if you get the right round. So it is with the spirit mind. If you associate with a wake-up code alarm at a particular time in your life, if you're encoded to wake up. Now, the Bible says that in Romans 11, I've always been fascinated with this particular verse because it relates to what I'm talking about, that there has to be a specific cause of sleep, blindness, sleep, in a sense. Blindness has happened to a particular people. These code people, these people have been robbed of something valuable. It's not that they've been robbed of the faith walk, because that's really what all that keeps these people walking, talking, praising, relating, gathering, functioning, fellowshipping, is faith. Faith is the evidence of things not seen, and yet reality master, or the power number 11 represents impractical idealism, visionary refinement, ideals, intuition, revelation, artistic and inventive genius, advent, grandee, and androgynous, film, fame, refinement. 11 is a higher octave of the number 2. 11 is a higher octave. It carries psychic vibrations. Now, is that why that something happened in the beginning, that the reptilian intervention of the watchers produced a second or third phase brain to hinder the thinking of a spirit man as he raises in ascension to perfection? Are we, as the Bible would describe it, are we a little lower than the angels? And if so, who made us that way? And if so, who tinkered with our DNA? These two strands that wait for the reattachment. Now remember, two, if we go back to two, and we see it as a impractical way of taking our knowledge away. Something is happening we don't know about. We think only because we think, because we're programmed to think this way. Can we think outside the box? Can we defeat? It's hard, I know. All things are possible to them that can associate with a wake-up. Shall we come to knowledge, to come to the fullness, to become illuminated? Now, if we do, in certain senses, the illumination is used only for the knowledge to do more evil. We're slow to do good, but if we would take what is hidden from us and walk by faith and emerge into a golden age that is referred to as we take something within us that is not gold and ultimately transfer it through faith and the substance of things hoped for into the golden age of a spiritual manifestation. That's what Yahweh's waiting on, till we come to the fullness of knowledge. Blindness in part has happened to Israel. Who turned off our digital time clock? Or who set it in a mode that we can only think so far? Remember now, we're told that we're only using, well, basically, less than one-third of the brain. Less than one-third of our brain. What does that mean? 2 elevens are 22. 4 ones is 4. Rest in revelation of divine consciousness to expand into the spiritual union with the Father. Did somebody block that? That we would not have access to a higher power. For what reason would that happen? If Satan, the one that gave us a reptilian brain, we inherited some of his genetics, because really, if you go back to the reality of the garden, we know it was a sexual sin or a care, or, if you will, a working of the DNA process. We failed from our steadfastness. We lowered ourselves. Something lowered us from a master revelation to the of the golden age. Adam, at one time, knew everything. Today, Adam practically knows nothing. The only difference between what he used to know and what he knows now is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Now, that's the great gulf that you must cross to obtain or reattach, if you will, the DNA, the two strands, each representing one, together two, and by the manifestation of the spirit mind hooking back to the other 11, and this is a code. Digital codes that invoke past memory. Now let me think about that for just a moment. 11 plus 11 equals 22 times 4. Equals time. But in the realm of where I'm trying to take you in your mind, there is no time existence. What brought us to a time element? What is the digital time code of blindness, ignorance, fear, superstition, falling, missing the mark, not being able to receive as Adam did? He didn't have to go to school. He had a numeric code of a blueprint of sacred geometry, spirals of consciousness. This golden spiral was perfection. Adam was perfect, knowing all things. He didn't have to be trained. He didn't need a code to invoke memory. He had no memory. And yet he knew everything. Today we have to have memory, and it seems like the older we get, the less memory that we retain. We should know, because it seems like at some stage in life, well, when we're school age, we are to they fill us with information in textbooks, things that have been taught from memory. And yet the Bible says that things that are seen are not things that please Yahweh. It's the things that are not seen. So if they show you something in a textbook, like a famous Einstein formula of relativity, are these things practical in spiritual matter? No, they're not. Faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, versus the digital codes that invoke memory always come in double digits, like 9/11. Did any know that? The September 11th attacks in New York City was 9/11/01. In 2003, 2011, and 2004, we had what is called the Madrid bombings. That would be 9/11, 3/11, and in 7/11, we had the Bombay train bombings. They picked these codes, these digital time codes. They are flashpoints to enhance the fear and the superstition. You know, we're all talking about conspiracies. We're all guilty of this. We get caught up in time codes. And in doing so, we enhance or feed these giant reptilian egos. Maybe we're dumb cattle. Maybe we are just on the food chain of the watchers as they eat our brain. You know, Christ said, except you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you don't have no life in you. And that's why the rituals of Passover are invoked. Is it to bring back some kind of a triggered memory of something that we used to have that lapsed or was blinded or was removed or was painted over, and that our brains are now disconnected from the memory codes? I mean, Adam once knew everything without having to learn anything. Now, we have to learn things to know things, but we have to have a memory which retained it. Most people, a lot of people now, are suffering from what they call Alzheimer's. This is something that is chemically imbalanced in the brain. We can't remember where we put our shoes. We can't remember where we got our socks on. We can't even remember where we tied our shoes or not. Or we can't even remember how to tie them. Some people, the more they learn, the more childish they become in age factor. And is it because most digital codes that invoke memory or countdown, such as 1, 2, 3, 4, or 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0, which goes to 0 point, and they merge at what we call 0 point energy. Is something bringing us back to 0 point energy? Are we coming to a time when we experience a sudden awakening after which reality is never the same? I hope so, for your sake. But I hope not for the sake of the reptilian brain. Now, to remember what I'm talking about here, the digital encoded numbers may make you feel a sense of urgency as you relate to emotions, but the Bible deals with patience. There is a time. The numbers usually signal changes in the patterns of your life. Have you reached a stage? Like 40 is a trial stage. I think Moses was 40, and when he killed the Egyptian, and then he went out 40 years and trained on the back desert, and he was 80, and then for 40 years he led the children of Israel to 120. At that point, he got to climb the mountain, the reptilian brainstem. But because of his disobedience, at the point he should have been at the highest, was when he became the lowest, because he was refused entrance because of his inability to think. Maybe something that we're experiencing, whether they be numbers that appear to us, are nothing but digital time codes. Maybe 120 was a digital time code for Moses and his brain activity to fail him at that time, that would restrict him from entering into the other dimension that it takes beyond. See, he had to see something. When he saw the promised land, he'd already failed the promised land, because when he was told to speak to the rock, instead he struck the rock. See, instruction, see, do it according to the pattern. Digital time codes that invoke memory of things not seen. Adam didn't have to see something to remember it. He already knew it before he seen it. Faith is knowing it's there. Faith is a feeling it's there, although you can't see anything. Just like somebody being blind in the dark and you know where the furniture is in the room, because you've been there many times before. Well, the Bible says there's nothing new under the sun, for what is to be has already been. Isn't it wonderful to know that until we reach the level of experience where we get it and our consciousness has expanded and our will is manifesting faster with greater comprehension, becoming more aware of the meaning of the synchronicities that become more and more frequent as we move through time on a digital time code? Are we heading, and you know, when I look at 20 and 12, and I've talked about this before, that it's 11 11. It's amazing. These are digital tumblers, if you will, on the mechanism of the lock of the reptilian brain. Whoever locked us in with the reptilian brain stem was against the Father's will. That knowledge that we gained back there actually shut off the reality as a geometric design based on numbers, or which is nothing but universal language. And these tumbler codes, as we're seeing now, 1111, are we coming back to a time, to a master set of numbers or tumblers and the locking codes that will unlock or unfreeze or unveil a spiritual mind versus a reptilian mind, and then dark or light and darkness will manifest in the creative wars of Armageddon to end all battles? Is the battle, as the word Armageddon suggests, a war of words in our own mind? Are we ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth? Did you know that spirals of consciousness are frequently recorded in the pyramids? And that we are coded or pointed toward a star system in the heavens? In the Pleiades, where we have the three stars, and the pyramids are those three images that did man and the ancient Egyptians, did they have advanced knowledge of the Creator? Was the Egyptians as the Egyptians of today, or were they a different breed? I believe an entirely different breed. They were the masters and the slave owners of a people that came down to sojourn there in the drought or in the famine. See, sometimes righteousness is taken into a dry place. In this case, it represents Israel, Jacob's sons, the promised, the inheritors of the 12, being perfect, and fell into become victim at a digital time. When the code was correct, Satan took the sons of eight into a dark place. Well, the Bible says in response to the 430 years that came out, and yet there was a 40-year time span where they could not possess, including Moses. They murmured, they complained, they resisted, they failed to get the message. You see, the law will never be to where you can keep it perfect. There's nobody can keep the law perfect, although we got these Pharisees that think they can. the law is imperfect. You say, oh, wait a minute. The Bible said the law of God is perfect. Looking at it from what standpoint? From the standpoint of Moses, he failed. And he's the one that brought it. He's the one that tried to enforce it. The people that followed him failed. There were only two people out of the 12 that had a good report. That was a spiritual-minded people versus the carnal-minded people. They saw giants. They saw obstacles. They saw things that would beset them. A lot of people get hooked up with, well, you're going to keep yourself, and you can't lie to floor, and you can't do this, and you can't do that. See, they get caught up in the restrictions and the prohibitions of the carnal mind, as opposed to the liberty that Yahweh didn't make man for the Sabbath. He made Sabbath for man. In that sense, David eats a shoe bread, which wasn't even lawful for him to eat. Nobody would have dared to cut that bread and feed his hungry troops, because they were so caught up in the carnality of a digital time code. See, they were locked and blinded through the reptilian stem of their thinking that they failed to enter into his rest. Now, those that entered into his rest, they entered by faith and things that not seen. They didn't have to keep nothing. I don't have to keep the law. I can't. I just have to believe in the man that kept it for me. I don't have to keep Passover. I don't have to be a digital timeline. There's no such thing. I only Passover because it's teaching me the fundamentals of the digital time codes. And these are plumbers that unlock my understanding to a greater height of things not seen. I'm not looking for things I can see. I'm looking for things I can't see. I ain't laboring for a city I can see. I'm not wanting to go up to Jerusalem, the old Jerusalem. I'm trying to avoid that place. I'm trying to think spiritually. I'm trying to reach out by faith and see that city that Abraham saw. You pass right through that old city called Jerusalem. Everybody in the car mine wants to go over there. What in the hell do you want to go there for? They people lying, cheating, stealing. Sodom and Gomorrah could be compared to it. Who'd want to go there? Who'd want to be involved in that? You need to change the pattern of your life from things that seem right to things that are right, and the things that are right can't be seen, and the things that seem right can. And so you're always dotting about, well, you see, now the law says you do this right here. You could do it all your life and still go to hell. You're not perfect. Neither is the law. The Bible said he found fault with it. Having found in fault, he made a more perfect way in the digital time codes of your life. Are you ever going to reach it? Are we ever going to come to knowledge? Are we going to lay down this bickering and backbiting and hate, and just because it makes you seem big that you know a few scriptures and you can quote them? And yet in quoting, you open your mouth and hang yourself. Yahweh said, I give you the law, ain't none of you kept it. That's reading about it in a better way. This better way we hid from Adam. When he fell from the things that were there by faith into things that were become reality, and his sons began to slave and plod along, and the reptilian mind captured him and made him a slave to the flesh man, bound him in these ritual, pharisaical, scribal teachings. And we can't get beyond this. We can't get to a spirit being. A spirit being has no wrong. He sees no wrong. He thinks no wrong. He is not wrong. He's outside the digital time code of the reptilian brain, the snake brain. We all got it. We all were born of a woman with a reptilian brain. And we've got to come into that point where The Bible says, when you say you see not. And when you don't see, you see. You see is opposite. People say, well, see right now, I know, but the Bible says to do this, and the Bible says to do that. See, it's a set of you can't do's or you can do's. When you get out of the realm of can and can't do, which offset or neutralize each other, you're always striving. Your carnal mind is trying to hold you back or tell you you're perfect, and the spirit mind is bidding you to just release it and walk by faith. See, I don't have to do anything except live Yahweh and come out of my carnal reptilian brain to do it. Now I walk by faith. Faith is the things it's not seen. If you see something that's going to stagger me or make me to fall, if you're going to say something that's going to make me puff up or fail to see the things that are by the things that are not, which one should I choose? The things that I can't see or the things that you see? The way you judge things. I'm not going to listen to your judgment when you're worse than I am. I mean, these people trying to teach the law and don't even understand where they're coming from, and especially don't know what they're talking about because they're at 0 point. Their stupidity and their carnal understanding is crashed into each other and ain't nothing but a train wreck. Even when you see your perfection, your flesh is filthy. Your understanding is probably in a digital time frame locked to the reptilian brainstem that keeps you and your consciousness from expanding into the will of things that are not seen. Moses was a meek, humble man. He was a precious man, but he didn't get a goat. See, if he'd went, the law would have been perfect. And although he was imperfect, he would have made it through imperfection. The devil went with him. Because the devil is trying to hitchhike into your imperfection because he sowed his seed or his reptilian birth, and he knows he got a short time until this is put away till we all come to the knowledge, to quit bickering and biting and backbiting and fussing and corralling and trying to prove that we know something that you don't know. I don't know nothing. I refuse to know nothing. Don't try to teach me nothing. If you teach me, you compound and aggravate my understanding, which becomes unfruitful in my spiritual things because I'm seeking things that are not seen. If you try to point them out and show them to me, then I no longer seek that which is not seen. I start struggling for the things in the reptilian mind that you presented to me. That's what religious and Christianity is all about. Your DNA code is functioned out of time until you get the message. You see, Moses was sent into heaven after he died, not before he died. You ain't going until you die. And the reason you're going to die is because your reptilian brainstem can't go with you. Your carnal understanding can't go. The carnal mind cannot inherit. You ain't going there. And so then devil, knowing he has but a short time to at least pull it off. And when you put the devil off, or your knowledge off, or the things that seem right off, or religion, which is vain, you put on that perfect spirit and the spirit being of perfection. Then you supersede and you take over and you confirm that you're experiencing that which was hidden from you by the fall of Adam, who returned to the things that he once knew without knowing. If you say you know him, if you say you can see, you're still blind. You see what I mean? See, this is the faith walk. This is how we get there. Well, I got to close. My time has come and gone, and I've enjoyed part one of Digital Time Codes. I'll be back tomorrow night on the late call at 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time to take you into depth of your spirit being. You see, you're genetically bred to serve Yahweh, not to be caught up in a bunch of silly logistics. Well, you got to be over here at Salt Lake City before you can find God. You've got to be over here in Jerusalem, bless God, and you've got to believe that the Jews are God's chosen people. See, all this crap that goes on, all I've got to do is get out of that. Shun these things that seem right and seek for myself. I don't have to go to anywhere to find Yahweh. I don't have to particularly keep anything. I keep it because it's a ritual to open up my brain, my carnal brain, my reptilian brain, that I could get the message Yahweh taught in these practical, everyday things, and opened up my brain through fellowship. I don't come together to be perfect, to keep the Passover perfect. That ain't what I come for. If I did, I'd get more rigid in ritualistics. You're a pretty looking thing when you think that going to a Passover makes you right. It don't make you right. It just shows you how wrong you are, what kind of an offering needed you to be. But if you want to go into perfection, love, L-O-V-E, love, that's what you need. It's a perfect love that casts out the fear of failing. I ain't fearing that I failed just because I didn't do something right. I've done everything wrong in my life, and I always will. And when this wrong lays down and dies, then I'll put on perfection. Moses got that. I mean, after all, he tried. He tried to be perfect. He done everything according to the pattern, according as close as he could, but yet he still failed and come short. So do you. So when you start pointing the finger, remember, fourth, pointing back at you, out of the corner of mind, trying to say, see, you're perfect, go ahead, criticize so-and-so. You can't do that. Have peace in yourself. Digital time codes. I'm going to get in part two tomorrow night. I'm going to go a little deeper for you. If you can go with me, we're going to spirit things. Putting away the carnal mind. You're listening to Pastor Buddy. I'm sponsored tonight by Dr. Gary and Brother Paul. And that'd be 1-877-289-7439 for Dr. Gary. Paul is 1-800-253-2748. I forgot to mention Saturday night that Brother Mark and Sister Audrey sponsors me, being down at the festival full of joy. Had a great time, still, praising Yahweh for the Passover. I didn't go to keep it perfect. I just went to have some fellowship. And I'm glad of those that loved, those that came, those that gave, those that contributed, and those that strive to go into the things that are not seen. You can call me, area code 423-626-2172. Go to our website, 1-O-N-E-Yahweh.com. And if you would like to call me tonight, area code 423-626-2172. And my mailing address, post office box, 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee, the zip 37824. Yahweh bless you, and I love you. See you tomorrow night, part two, digital time code.